We are stoned, and that's okay. So why don't you just stay? Sit back and listen. You don't know what you're missing. It's Talking Stoned While Getting Sports.
Welcome, fellow humans. You are listening to Talking Stoned While Getting Sports. Episode, 181, let's call it. My name, that's the guy that's very nervous right now for reasons I will explain. Morgan, the guy that I have no clue if he's nervous or not. Mr. Austin, I fucked up your name, but how the fuck is it going, buddy? Exhale.
Yeah, it's going good. We are recording a little later than we planned.
And why is that, my friend?
Well, one of us, probably the one that's currently talking, slept in. And, well, that's about it. That's, yeah, slept in. And to be honest, I rarely sleep in, so this was new for me. And, yeah.
Well, maybe it was needed. You must have had a rough Sunday night.
Oh, yeah. It was a long week.
Anything exciting to report or?
Not really. Just working away. Working sales in January is not the most exciting thing, I'll be honest.
That's fair. You basically just have like a, well, December sure makes up for it.
December definitely helps. November is also quite good. But actually, you know, it's kind of interesting. I made them so far this year with Rogers, or like the year I've been working with them. The most I made was in August.
All into that nifty.
It's back to school. Anyways, how about back you? What have you been up to? How you doing?
I'm doing good.
That's good.
As I said in my intro, I'm slightly nervous. Okay, that is why? Because my girlfriend is in the other room, and this is only the second time she's been around when I recorded. The first time was in the morning because my co-host did not sleep in.
Hey.
And she was still sleeping because she didn't need to be up. This time, though, she is very much awake and probably can hear everything that I'm saying. And without being able to hear her right now, I can feel her smile and her evil glare that she's probably giving me currently.
That's hilarious. Well, I will say, my wife is in the other room, but at this point, she doesn't listen.
She's used to it.
A lot of episodes. All the episodes, actually. Pretty much.
See, my girlfriend, she does listen, but she isn't normally listening to me do it live. And
oh, Megan doesn't listen to the show. Downloads it.
Well, that's a bonus. That's something. That's more than most people.
Right?
But, I mean, with you sleeping in, it did give me some time to, I mean, I was just going to do it anyways, but now I can talk about it. I did some running around with my girlfriend that I've already mentioned.
Yeah.
Because, oddly, well, maybe odd, I don't know. You be the judge. I was still had to give her Christmas present. Because we originally were planning on getting her a Build-A-Bear. which last time we were in the Midtown Mall here in Saskatoon, for people that are around here. I mean, Austin knows.
I do.
Last time we were in that particular mall, there was a Build-A-Bear. This time, however, there appears to not be a Build-A-Bear, so I don't know where it ran off to.
Weird.
So, we went through multiple stores. I told her that, you know, pick whatever you want. And it seems like I trained her very well, because shocking enough, we went to many stores that are much, I thought would be more up her alley, if you will, with stuffed animals and this and that and all that good stuff. But the items that she ended up getting was from the Rider store.
Oh.
She got herself a very nice Rider fleece, I guess you would call it.
Oh, yeah.
And she also got a Rough Rider stuffy. But
okay.
Since I was part of this transaction, of course, I found out, being a season ticket holder, I actually get points on the money I spend at the Rider store. I did not know that. So I scooped up those points, and yeah, it just caught me off guard, though, that out of all the, like, we passed jewelry stores, we went into Spencer's, which that's, she loves lots of those, that type of stuff, like Spencer's Gifts. That store is amazing for people that aren't aware. It's an interesting store.
Spencer's is wild.
Yeah, it's a great place to shop, though, dude. I love it. Everything about it.
Right.
But yeah, it. I'm not complaining. More green, either on me or on my girlfriend. I'm all for that.
Yeah.
It was kind of nice because I got talking Riders with the worker there. And other than that, just did some more walk around in the mall. Came back and basically just getting ready for dodgeball starts up again tomorrow as of recording Tuesday. So I'm looking forward to that. And then in a couple weeks, I'll be doing dodgeball on Monday nights as well. So double dodgeball. And then when spring hits, that's when it gets real crazy, because I do dodgeball, dodgeball, slow pitch, break, break, slow pitch.
Oh, shit.
So, and I might try and start playing some flag football, so stay tuned for that, see how that turns out. But I think that's enough about me at this point.
Okay.
Why don't you give me a break with my terrible talking that I'm doing right now, so I can take a drink while you plug that time up with some plugs. See what I did there?
So if you could download the show, that would be great. Rate, review.
Because I'm hilarious.
Download, subscribe. Tell your friends. Tell your anyone you talk to, really. TikTok at TSWGSPod, same thing with Twitter and all the rest, everything. Anyway, Morgan, you've been actually doing some of your plugs.
Yeah. I technically already failed my New Year's resolution, but I'll explain that with my plugs. Capture Morgan 2 for basically anything. But the main thing right now, currently, is Twitch. Last episode, if you listened, you would have heard me say, I want to do it every time I play any game. Well, it turns out sometimes I don't want to be live. So what I'm doing is switching it to any time I play, like I'm doing a more major gaming session, I guess you'd call it, like, you know, an hour plus. If I'm just going to play a few minutes before bed type deal, I'm not going to stream those type of sessions, that type of deal. But yes, right. I have been doing that a little bit. There's a couple videos up on my Twitch. I'm hoping to do some editing here in the next couple of days on those videos and getting some clips, because unfortunately, unless if I can figure out how to change it, those videos from my previous streams actually only stay up there for 7 days.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So I want to put some clips up there, which those will actually stay on my Twitch for a lot longer. So right. That is where we're at with plugs, my guy.
Okay.
Well, I know already, without even asking you, that you want me to get through this football side of things as fast as possible. Because the nice thing about you sleeping in is that on the hockey side of things, and actually also on the football side of things, which you'll learn in due time, a little bit more bigger news, definitely on the hockey side of things, that we are fortunate enough to get to talk about now. So, in a timely fashion, which doesn't happen very often in the sports podcast.
True.
But before we get there, unfortunately, Austin, well, unfortunately in your mind, not unfortunately for me, I get to talk some football. And I'm going to start off with talking some CFL. Well, that's clear. Duh. Some Rider football. Because last episode, I mentioned how CJ Revis got a contract extension with the Riders, and he kind of won the Derek Moncrief spot, and I mentioned how they've been trying to force him into the spot this past season, different spots on the defense, and it hasn't been working, this and that. Well, I also kind of figured this was going to happen. They have officially released Derek Moncrief.
Okay.
Which does not surprise me whatsoever. And I'm also happy that they did. Even though there's a lot of fans that aren't happy about this move, but on like Facebook and stuff, I've actually talked to a couple of them, and they're all about keeping fan favorites and this and that. And it's like, well, you want the team to make the changes to get better. Derek Moncrief on the defense was one of the issues, but when they try and make the changes, people complain about them. You can't have it both ways.
True.
It's not how life works.
Very true.
I wish it did, because life would be a lot better.
True.
So, I mean, I'm a huge fan myself of Derek Moncrief. He was a great player, but especially in sports, he was getting up there in age. I'm trying to find his exact age. I can't right this second, but the nice thing about also releasing him now is that if any other team, because he still has definitely some, like, if a team's looking for a veteran presence that maybe is a rotational guy or something like that, I would still give him a shot. But now any team that's interested in him doesn't have to wait until February 13th in order to sign him. So, really, they get an extra month jump. I'm definitely not a big fan of the teams that know they're not going to use a particular player and then end up just keeping them under contract until free agency hits and then just letting them walk anyways.
Right.
But one player, keeping with the writer side of things, that I'm very happy with the whole re-signing is Mario Alfred, which I also believe I mentioned last episode, maybe two episodes ago. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We get very baked during these episodes, so
it's true.
It's really hard to remember which one's which. In the CFL, having a really good returner is a lot bigger deal versus in like the NFL, that when you can just wave at your mom and not get tackled.
Right.
Also known as a fair catch. But I don't know. This is Mario Alfred is also another player that I think he can kind of be your Swiss Army knife on the offense as well. I don't know which, speaking of which, they've both their running backs, Jamal Morrow and Frankie. What's his last name? I'm having a brain fart and I can't remember. And who really cares? No one ever twexes at us anyway. So, he's a really good returner, and we're going to keep moving along because I also really, really want to get to hockey. Lots of the stuff I honestly could have just not even talked about, and we could just talk about hockey. But this move with Hamilton Tiger Cats, though, I'm actually very surprised about, because I thought, especially with his comment after losing in the Eastern semifinal, I was very shocked that he was even going to stay as Ticats, and that's quarterback. Bo Levi Mitchell takes a pay cut to remain with the Tiger Cats. Last year, he didn't just have one stint on the 6-game injured list, but two stints on it. He's definitely getting up there in age. I personally thought he was going to just ask to be released and we were going to see him in the media and like maybe up on the panel on TSN there or something like that, subbing him for some people. He's 33 years old. In 23, I don't know what he restructured it to, but he's originally signed a $1.6 million deal over 3 years. That's actually kind of a good chunk of change for CFL money, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, I really don't know what to say. I'm honestly just still in shock that this deal happened. And yeah, moving right along.
No, that's fair.
I may or may not have smoked a little bit extra prior to recording. But There's kind of a really big news. I kind of save, if you will, the best for last as far as news goes in the CFL.
Okay.
And that has to do with the Edmonton Elks.
Right.
And Chris Jones really enjoys doing things in a very shocking manner. Because they started the week off, or last week, I should say, with releasing Tyler, what's his name? Cornelius. And I was like, okay. I wasn't too shocked about that because Trey Ford came in later last season anyways. And that's when they finally started winning games. And I still think they should have stuck with them. And I say should have because they ended up signing former Grey Cup champion with the Toronto Argonauts from two seasons ago, McLeod Bethel-Thompson, who, after he won the Grey Cup, I thought he made it very clear that he was not going to come back to the CFL. He was done in the CFL, but
apparently not.
Yeah, Edmonton apparently, well, Chris Jones paid him enough. The rumor has it that he's getting paid around $500,000 with bonuses. It's only a 1-year deal. I personally would have just stuck with Trey Ford and, you know, do the best you can with him. But at the same time, I think Chris Jones knows that if he has another subpar season this year, he's also gone. So in order to save his job, they need to at least, I would say, at least be a 500 football team. Ideally make the playoffs, which in a 9-team league, generally not that difficult. And I say that with a smile as a Rider fan. But
jeez.
I don't know. So I guess it really seems like the Elks are going all out as far as quarterbacks. So just like the Bo Levi thing, this is another thing that I'm just shocked by. And I mean, this does give Trey Ford a little bit more time to learn underneath a quarterback that's been there, done that, which won't hurt. And Trey Ford, they kind of, you know, McLeod definitely does not scramble out of the pocket, so, and Trey Ford does, so they could have a nice little package with Trey Ford and have a nice little two quarterback punch, which we've seen Winnipeg pull off. That's worked for them in the past with Zach Claros and Chris Trevler. But Trey Ford can actually throw the ball. Chris Trevler barely could. So I don't know. I know this will put a grin on Austin's face. Time will tell. So, but one last move I'm going to talk about in the CFL, and then Austin can finally talk about some hockey. The Elks release veteran defensive back Aaron Grimes. This player, in my mind, is one of the top DBs in the league. And okay. I want Jeremy O'Day to get on the phone with his agent now. Like, I want it to pop up on my phone, breaking news, like, as I'm speaking right this second, that they signed this guy, because he's good. And I think this is absolutely a foolish thing for the Elks have done. And I think with Corey Mace and him being the DC as well, which I don't really agree with him doing two jobs, but that's a different story for a different day. I think he could really shine. This is a player that's going to benefit from being on the free agent market now a month early before anyone else. So he's not going to make it to February 13th. I promise you that. If he makes it to next episode, 182, that hopefully we record, we'll see about that. I will be shocked, but Austin, I did my best at running through that as quickly as I could, mostly because it's only so exciting. I'm not going to lie, but my friend, my guy, my pal, my co-host, my, I'm leaving it at that. You sent me a couple very exciting NHL news.
Oh, did I?
One that I think any major hockey fan has been waiting for quite some time to come down the pipeline. So why don't you share us what I'm hinting at?
Oh, yeah. No, we got news. So the Leafs have this player.
They have a couple.
It's true. His name is William Nylander.
I've heard of him.
He's very good.
He's not shabby.
In fact, this year he started off with an insane point streak.
I'm trying to remember what it was. Do you remember?
Like 17 games, I believe.
Something like that, yeah.
He's been absolutely fantastic.
And then, sorry, a little sidetrack. Nathan McKinnon was basically like, that was cute, watch this. Didn't he do something crazy, point streak as well?
True, yeah.
sorry, that's... I got a little off track, but...
No, that's all good. No, William Nylander actually... for your information, leads the Leafs in points this season so far.
Shocking.
37 games played. He's got 54 points, 21 goals. Not too shabby.
I'm not actually shocked at all, by the way.
And of course he's playing incredible because he's going to be a free agent after the season. And the Leafs decided that they wanted to keep him. And they made it happen. $11.5 million per season for 8 years.
And the thing is, if they signed up at the beginning of the year, they probably could have had him for 9.5, 10.
Maybe 10. But they were like, nah, it's too much. It's too much
to pay. We want to pay more.
We would rather pay more. We would rather risk it and pay more. And William Nylander was like, okay, I'll take that bet. And he did. And it paid off. I don't know. It's
I'm honestly a little surprised that he's a Leaf, to be honest. I thought he was going to hit the market.
I think this makes it very likely that he's a Leaf for life.
Yeah. Definitely his main part. They're definitely getting him for his golden years, if you want to call it.
Call it that. Yeah. Well, I believe he's turning 28 soon, or already is 28.
Oh, he's already that. I say that old, but he's already.
Well, yeah, he was drafted 2015, I believe.
Yeah, I'm trying to find his age on here, and it's not say anything, but.
No, it's. I mean, fans are mixed on it for sure, because obviously it's a lot of money.
And yeah, because they have a lot of money tied up in five guys as well.
They sure do.
Same five guys that they have very little results with as well in the playoffs, mind you.
Also very true.
So, I honestly thought, sure, they made it to the second round this past season, but I really thought we were going to see more changes when it comes to Leafs core five, I like to call it.
Me too. I think if no results this playoffs, or not better results, I think then there will be changes.
But now these type of contracts are hard to move, though.
Sorry?
I said these type of contracts, these massive contracts, they're not easy to move.
I don't think they'd be trading Nylander.
No, I'm not saying Nylander, but if they want to now get rid of any of their core five, it's not going to be easy to move.
No, you're not wrong.
I guess probably the reason why they might not have. I honestly thought Marner. I mean, it's not the trade deadline yet, so there's still time, but I don't think he's going to be a Leafs for the long run. That's my opinion.
Who? Marner?
Marner.
No, I honestly don't see it. I don't think he's built for the Toronto market, I'll be honest. I think guys like Nylander and Matthews, they can handle the media better. They just don't really care.
Especially Matthews, he could care less.
Yeah, they're getting paid, they're playing hockey, and they don't give a shit what you say. I think Marner gets deeply pretty affected by shit, and he's still, you know, here's the thing. Marner's having an off year, and he's still on pace for 89 points.
Yeah.
So, like, that's a bad year for Marner. But the thing is, when you get paid over $11 million a season, the expectation's higher. You're getting paid,
especially when you compare it to the other people that get paid that amount of money. Like,
well, and so for an example, let's see here, Nikita Kucherov this year, 67 points in 40 games, and his salary. Hold on 1 second. His cap hit is $9.5 million.
See, that's a solid salary for.
Do you think that Marner is worth $2 million more than Nikita Kucherov?
No, because you would also have to add the defensive side of things that Kucherov would have.
Well, Marner is pretty responsive defensively.
Yeah, but Kucherov, he just has like the bigger body, and he's just
also on the penalty kill. But yeah. Kucherov is, the thing is with Kucherov, either he's very skilled or he will absolutely,
and he has the viciously cup experience. Attack.
He does, but yeah, if he gets pissed, he just viciously attacks. He is low-key one of the dirtiest guys in the league.
Where with Marner, you need an extra guy in order to help protect him.
Kind of, yeah. And it's funny because the guy they got to kind of do that hasn't really played much this year.
No.
That being Ryan Reeves, who is basically unusable. He is not a good hockey player anymore.
And now, starting next year with Nylander's new contract, they're going to have to make some serious changes.
It's true.
Their defense is going to get even worse because they're not going to be able to afford anyone.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know what they're doing in Toronto land. But I think we talked about Toronto long enough.
That's fair. That's fair. Sorry, one second. My phone's being weird.
Yay for technology.
Oh, okay. So this is another. This one kind of caught me off guard. And there's a lot to it, so bear with me here.
Oh, I'm bared with you.
The Anaheim Ducks, they're kind of, we know they're bad, but they got some young guys coming up. Guys like Pavel Minnikov, Jamie Drysdale. Well, not anymore. so Jamie Drysdale, he's 21 years old, and they're already trading him. Which I think is silly. He's a right-handed defenseman, and in NHL EA Sports, he progresses really well, so I don't know why you would trade him away.
I like how you toss that in as a considering factor.
Well, it's important. And in return, the Ducks receive Cutter Gauthier, who was on the American World Juniors team, who recently won gold. He co-led the tournament with 12 points. So Gauthier was from the Flyers, if I didn't mention that. And
I don't think you did.
The Flyers are actually quite important in this because Gauthier basically said in no uncertain terms he did not want to play for Philadelphia.
Oh, I was not aware of this.
Oh yeah, no, this is I saw this as well from a couple good sources, and yeah, didn't want to play there. And now a bunch of Flyers fans are basically saying, well, good, we don't want you. If you don't want to play here, don't play here. And fair enough.
Yeah, it's totally fair.
And I don't know. I think Philadelphia just got a very good young defenseman. He's 21. He's having a bit of an off year, but he has only played 18 games over the last two seasons with injuries. So not a great sign, but he's got a really high ceiling with his potential. And I don't know, man. But Gauthier, he looks good too. It's interesting when teams trade away like really high rated young players, because you're not letting them develop.
Yeah, it's even a little more interesting when they basically just trade two young players with really high ceilings. Straight across, like, sure, Flyers also got a second rounder out of the deal as well, which isn't horrible either.
Right.
You can sometimes snag up a pretty good player even in the second round, so.
This is very true.
But yeah, this is not any type of trade that I heard any type of rumors on or anything like that. Elliot Freeman, I haven't heard him put out anything about this, which usually happens right before the trade.
Well, that is true. He's got his sources, man.
Yeah, but let's keep moving right along because we got a decent amount of hockey to talk about.
Yeah, so, well, this one is rough news for the Kings. They're, well, I mean, it, to be fair, he wasn't, he's not the starter goalie, but Phoenix Copley, he's going to be out for the season. He's 31 years old. He had a great last season. He went 24-6-3, 903 save percentage, and a shutout in 37 games. But yeah, it looks like he's out with ACL surgery. He got the injury in practice, which is rough.
Yeah, it's an ACL injury. Well, for any player, for any sport, really, isn't ideal. But as a goalie,
yeah,
that's a long one to come back from. And sure, like you said, he wasn't like the starter goalie or anything like that. But nowadays in hockey, you need the goalie depth, and he definitely added that for the Kings. So, but I don't know who gets to slide into his spot now, but.
Looks like, oh, I think it was, do they have Big Save Dave, or who has Big Save Dave? I thought I saw his name.
Oh, yeah, it's Dave Riddick is behind Cam Talbot. Yeah.
Yeah.
He moves around so much, I can't keep track of myself.
Who friggin' knows?
So, I mean, they still don't have terrible goalie depth, but I'd rather have Copley than Riddick any days. So,
oh yeah, definitely. We have a goalie, incredible goalie news. Marc-Andre Fleury has officially tied Patrick Waugh with at second with 551 goalies. What? 551 wins, which is second all time for goalies in the NHL.
Which is absolutely insane.
It is. It really is. And Fleury will inevitably beat Patrick Waugh, of course, unless he doesn't win another game this season, which I don't see happening. However, they were on a 4-game losing streak when this happened, so we'll see. But
I would also say the Martin Brodeur record is,
well, and that's what for I was now is say, safe. Right? It's not for now, forever.
You think that's an unbeatable record?
It's well, goalies don't play 78 games a season anymore.
That's true.
Right, they play like 60.
If you're lucky. Tops.
Yeah. So to get almost 700 wins is obviously Brodeur 691. Like, I don't think anyone will ever do that.
I mean, the only way I could possibly see that record be beaten is I don't know how many seasons Brodeur played for, but
a lot. With
the fact that the goalies play less games this season might mean they can play more seasons. So that in return might help. It might take them longer time to get that record, but
yeah,
if they play 20 plus seasons, it's, you know, 60 games a season.
Well, Marchand Brodeur played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10,
live count.
11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 seasons.
So yeah, that was 20 seasons at like probably an average that's called 70 games a season.
Give or take. There's a couple seasons there where he didn't play many games, but there was also like a lockout.
And yeah. So
a couple of them.
I mean, yeah, it would be pretty hard to break it, if I'm being honest, but Time will tell, I guess.
Oh my God. It will. You're right.
But no, back to back to Marc-Andre Fleury. He's up there as one of my all-time favorite goalies, not just with his skill, great, but also like the type of person he is. It's great. His personality is remarkable.
True.
And I think whenever he does retire, I don't know if it's, the rumor has that this is his last season. I say he's first ballot into the Hall.
As soon as he's eligible. I think you're right.
So. Yeah. And didn't he like just pass the, yeah, just last week we talked about him passing the 1,000 game mark or something.
Yes. It's honestly, it's an incredible career for Marc-Andre Fleury. And like you said, couldn't happen to a better guy. Everything I've heard is he is just the nicest, the best teammate, just a generally good guy to be around. And
I've never heard of, in any interview or anything from him, I've never heard a bad thing about him. Like, one of my biggest memories of him is in the All-Star games when he, am I thinking of Carey Price? I might have just got mixed up, the two goalies. When they were facing their home way and they made the save because of the glass, that was Price, was it?
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, anyways, he's a good guy, and congrats to Fleury.
Back to injury news. Christian Dvorak, poor guy, out for the season with a torn pectoral muscle. That's rough. He's going to have surgery on Friday.
This is a pretty big loss for Montreal.
Well, yes and no. To be fair, he also has 7 points in 25 games. But he's more of a, what do you call it, a utility player. St. Louis talks about his left-handed face-offs. Plays on the penalty kill, plays on the power play. Doesn't have a lot of points, but...
That's not necessarily what you pay him the money for, but...
No, but...
Especially on a team like Montreal, that's a younger team and stuff, too, so...
Fair. I'm switching up the order again a little bit here.
That's fine. I just tossed in random. You do what you world, want, hockey.
Yeah, the World Juniors have come and gone. And, Canucks. Not Canucks.
You try to sneak the Canucks in anytime you can.
That is a nickname for Canadians, just throwing that out there, but... Canadian World Junior team was eliminated without meddling. And we have an American gold medal. Unfortunately, Sweden got kind of rocked, 6-2. However, one of the team Sweden, Jonathan Lekkerimäki, who just happens to be a Canucks prospect, is the MVP of the tournament, which makes me very happy. Team Sweden was basically young Canucks, and they played great, so I'm happy about that. Macklin Celebrini, he looked great. From what I did see, dude is 17 years old and looking like he belongs. Draft eligible this coming year.
I don't know, unfortunately, man, with the time zone difference and all that stuff, and the fact that the games here in Saskatchewan start at 12:30. I wasn't able to watch too much of the World Juniors this year, but sounds like you might have had a little bit more luck than I did in that.
A little bit, not tons. Of things. So. The U.S. was an absolute wagon this year. And honestly, I don't know. Canada should be embarrassed because the USA hockey program has obviously been just consistently getting better and better and better. They are very good. And
I'm sick and tired of hearing be like, well, we don't have Bedard. Well, you can't hold your tournament hopes on one singular
player. No, that's no excuse. You got to have systems in place to – it's not a star-based game. That's not how this works.
That was the thing about the States, from my understanding, is that there are a lot more of a team-built team.
Yes.
Where everyone had their role and didn't just rely on one player's shoulders. Yes, they had like their all-stars, if you will. I mean, they're all really good players, but you know, they had their top guys and all that stuff like every team, but it was more of a well-rounded team, I guess, is the long way that I was trying to say that. Holy crap.
Okay. Nice.
I got there eventually.
You sure did. I'm proud of you.
Woohoo! Air high five. Did you join me?
Nope.
Oh, sad face.
I mean, yes.
Oh, a happy face.
Also, speaking of Cutter Gauthier from the trade earlier, he was actually fantastic. Like we mentioned, he was fantastic in this World Juniors, so good for him. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff in here, but I kind of want to do some NHL recap. We got...
We've been hinting at the halfway mark for... Well, I hinted at it few episodes ago and it was too early, so I held out and I'm not holding out any longer.
Okay, well, it's about the halfway point and it's a recap time. We definitely got some surprises for sure. We got some not so surprising because we always knew that they were great teams. They just needed the right conditions.
Oh, I hate you so much right now.
Oh, shit. But you know what? Let's start with the East.
Yeah, let's skip to them.
And just kind of like, so we have some clear top teams, right? We got Boston, Florida, Toronto, the Rangers, the Hurricanes. Here's one that's top five of the league, or the East, the Flyers. The Flyers are 20-14-6. They are third in the East, in the Metro, which is good enough for sixth in the
East. They started hot, that's for sure.
And they're in a playoff spot right now. Now, to be fair, it's not a secure playoff spot.
No.
Right? Because you have the Flyers at 46 points. And then in the wild card, you have the Islanders at 46. The Devils at 44.
Yeah, it's a tight race.
Behind that, you have the Caps and the Red Wings also at 44.
At this point of the season, that's how the wild card race should be. It should be at most a 4-point spread. That's when you get the good hockey in my mind. So
I will say there's a couple teams this year in the East especially that I thought would do better than they are currently doing.
Interesting.
The Senators, man.
Yes.
The Senators we've been touted this incredible young great team, and
they didn't start the season too terrible.
Okay.
Yeah. But then they definitely fell off the wagon real hard, real fast.
Like, for an example, in their last 10, they're 3-7, and they're in a 3-game losing streak. -9 goal differential, which is not terrible given their position, but dude,
still better than the Sharks.
It's rough. Now they do have some games in hand, but that doesn't mean it's a good thing. And the Sabres only have 38 points. They're 6 points out of playoff, and I thought they'd be doing better too. Last year they almost made it to the playoffs.
Yeah.
This year, it's not looking like they're gonna.
I will.
Do you have any thoughts on the East?
I will backtrack slightly because you didn't mention the Bruins. I know I mentioned this at the quarterway mark, and before the season started, I know I mentioned that I thought they were going to slip a little bit because of, you know, losing their top two centermen. And, well, halfway through the season, they're still proving me wrong. So, more power to them. And I'm honestly shocked that the Panthers are right on their heels as far as points goes in the Atlantic. So, I thought there would be another wild card type battling for the last wild card spot, like kind of like last season, but surprises all around in the East, that's for sure.
Fair enough, yeah.
That's all I got on the East side of things. I don't know if okay. You have anything more.
No, that's it. That's all I got. Moving on to the better conference.
That I agree with you with, but I don't think we have enough time to talk about this conference.
That's true. Well, what I will say is, you'll be happy to know that there are no more Canucks in the top five for points.
That's good.
Assists still, Quinn Hughes. He also leads plus minus. But this is your annual or your weekly Canucks update.
Yeah.
Demko still second in shutouts with 3. Canucks won tonight against the Rangers 6-3, which is awesome. Love that shit. Yeah.
I don't know. This is an NHL recap, not a Canucks recap, right?
Well, so here's the thing. The last time I checked, the Canucks, which league do they play in again?
Yeah, I know. Go on, sir.
No, I will say, and I talked about it earlier already, Kucherov's having a great year, 67 points, but so is McKinnon, man. He's been on that crazy tear, like you mentioned, and they have a good distance between the next guys. Like, Kucherov, 67, McKinnon, 65, and then Panarin is third at 55. 10 points back, but Matthews leading the league in goals with 30. Shocking. No shocker. I will say, though, hey, Zach Hyman, former Maple Leaf, lighting it up with the Oilers. He's tied for fourth with 25 goals. Not bad, man. Also, Sam Reinhart, he's got 28 goals. He ties for second. And this guy, also a free agent coming up. So he's looking to get paid. He's having a crazy good year.
He's one of those players that is kind of sneaking out of nowhere, which I've said this in the past, you kind of have to be careful with a player like this when it comes to their contract, because
that's true.
A career best is called a career best for a reason. You can't base it.
Huberdeau, what?
Hey, Huberdeau's had 4 points in the past 3 games, so.
I thought I saw those 4 points in 5 games.
That could be true, too. But two of those being goals, so.
Wow. $1.5 million, hey?
Hey, we've discussed off pod that things.
Things, for sure. Stuff and things.
Yeah. No, I mean, you brought it up. I'm not completely happy yet, of course, about Huberto, but I'm starting to get happier.
That's fair.
Andre Mangiapane being another player, he's really stepping up, and this is right after we talked about him. I don't know if that was on the pod or off the pod, but basically what I'm saying is me and Austin, we're fortune tellers, and we're both hockey insiders, so.
Nice.
What can I say? That just proves that everyone on the planet needs to listen to our podcast if they want to learn stuff. I was going to say become rich, but you keep trying to do that, and you keep showing me things, and it has yet to pan out for you, so.
Hey, you know what? You win some, you lose some.
For and you, lots note, of it's been losing.
And so. That on that note.
Are we done with the recap? Any other
I don't know,
surprises that were. Well, no, that we don't have to RFA talk about the Blackhawk.
What?
I was about to talk about the Blackhawks, but I really don't want to right now for reasons unknown.
Okay, that's fair.
Maybe they've recently beat the Flames. Who really knows?
It's possible.
Oh, boy. I hate them so much. Yeah, I mean, Winnipeg's top in the West, so that's kind of cool to see a Canadian team in the top like that. Edmonton's been slowly pulling them. Well, McDavid's been pulling them out of the hole. Slowly but surely.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Edmonton has been an absolute tear.
And definitely.
I thought we didn't have time to talk about the West.
What's that?
I thought we didn't have time to talk about the West.
Well, I thought you would talk a little bit longer about the Canucks, so.
Oh, okay.
Well, which was most of the time that we talk about for the West, so I figured I'd toss in a couple more teams as well. Okay, on that sound and note. Oh, my Lord.
What?
I think Austin popped something. Everyone out there, stay stoned, stay sealed, and stay safe.
Bye.